And now, Forward with Falk. Join Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen as they navigate their way through the political thicket. Dave, let me ask you something. Was this a good week for the Democrats or a bad week for the Democrats? What do you think?
Oh, I think it was a good week. I think it was a bad week for the Republicans, but I think it was a good week for the Democrats. We could start in Pennsylvania with the fact that they cemented their...
The Democrats.
Yeah, the Democrats cemented their majority in the state House of Representatives. There were three seats up for... filling, and they won all three pretty easily. They're all out west, which means that they have 102 members, and so they should be able to control the agenda there, although it's still a little dicey with the Speaker of the House. He seems to be on his own path at times rather than being a Democrat, but you know, he's shown no inclination.
Don't the Republicans... Aren't they mad at him because they thought he was going to become independent?
Yeah. I mean, the deal that was supposedly worked was that he would be independent and not caucus with the Democrats. And, of course, the other part of the deal is by making him the speaker, he blocked the black woman from Philadelphia becoming Speaker of the House, Joanna McClendon, the head of the Democrats. The Democrats, on the other hand, wanted to have somebody in the speakership who identified with them ideologically to not, you know, first of all, control the agenda, but also to block the Republicans from that final passage of the amendment or the voting on the amendments to the state constitution that would have put in voter ID and also let the legislature override the governor at times. So
now the fact is that if they don't vote on it in this next week, that's the end, right?
Yeah, it looked like it was dead if they didn't do it by last week. But from what I understand, the time, because of what you have to advertise this thing, it's absolutely dead, and it does on the 16th, and then they're not coming back until the 21st, from what I understand. Now there is a loser in this, and that's all those families that wanted to extend the statute of limitations on sexual abuse cases. The Republicans had tied those to the other two amendments, the Speaker has pledged. Rossi has said that he's going to bring that up as an independent, as just that one. But then it has to go through both the state Senate, the state House, in two separate legislative sessions. So it's going to be at least another couple years till that passes. But that's still, you know, we'll see the Democratic House now.
But let me ask you something: the Democrats have 102 votes, but then does that include Rossi?
Yes. It includes Rossi.
So if you take Rossi out, it's tied again.
Yeah, but he gets to break the tie, and he also gets to, you know, set the agenda, so to speak, on what bills he wants to bring to the floor and things like that. Now, the Republicans, though, don't forget, are now down to 100. there was one of the state senators, John Gordner, who decided to leave the state Senate to become the top aide to the Senate Republican leader, Kim Ward. Why he'd want to do that, why he'd leave, I don't know. There's something there. But that left a vacancy, so a state House member won that election to replace him, so she has to resign. So now they're down to 100. They're going to have to wait till they decide when they're going to have a vote out to fill that. It's sort of like musical chairs. But So we're going to see.
So there doesn't seem like there's anybody making a coordinated plan on either the Democratic or Republican side here. This is just chaos.
Yeah, it is. It is chaos. It's not as bad as what happened in the House of Representatives in Washington, but it is chaos, and there's a lot of grudges and whatever. By the way, I don't know if you saw this, but Doug Mastriano hired as his right-hand man the guy who lost the Senate race in Maryland. Cox was his name or something. the real radical guy who, you know, really had some nutty things. He lost to Wes Moore by like 32 points.
And he's going to
live in Maryland.
He's going to live in Maryland and work in Harrisburg?
Yeah.
How does that work?
Well, he said that, you know, they're only in session a certain number of weeks, and he can do it, you know.
Well,
God only knows.
I hope he'll be as effective as he is thoughtful.
Yeah, so we have that. It was also, we have to talk about, because this is going to be important as to how they're going to handle this. And part of it's going to be how Josh Shapiro handles it when he gives his first budget request. By the way, I found out, normally it's done in February, but in a year when the governorship changes, it comes later. I'm not sure exactly when it comes, but his message is later. And traditionally, it doesn't matter anyway, because what happens is nobody does anything until May, and then in June they all hurry up and try to compromise. And if they're ticked off at the governor, they don't provide a budget by the time they're supposed to on June 30th. So we'll see. But the big issue now is that the Commonwealth Court decision that ruled the funding formula for state school districts unconstitutional, because it deprives the poorer districts of adequate funding. And it looks like the state Senate is going to appeal that to the Supreme Court, but I don't know if it's going to get anywhere there. It's just going to delay things. And as we've talked about many times, the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania has lowered the amount of money that it's given. It's shared with the local districts. It used to be 50%, and now it's down in the mid-30s.
Is this drop using the same formula, or did Corbett change the formula, Republican Governor Corbett, did he change the formula to allow him to drop it?
I'm not sure, but I'm pretty sure it's more the legislature than the governor.
Uh-huh.
They're the ones. And, of course, many of their districts, being rural, are the losers. Now, the question was, there were 10 districts that brought this lawsuit, and they put out a pretty good case. The local district that did so was Wilkes-Barre area. Why Scranton didn't join that is beyond me, because they found out that they were, what, $40 million short from what the state should be giving them?
Right. Well, but that's unimportant. Not enough to worry about.
When that came out, that they got some more money, but still, so we'll have to see. And of course, if they spend more money on education, where does that come from? They're going to have to raise taxes. Are they how are they going to reallocate it? And of course, the private schools have been jonesing for more and more money. Which takes it out of the public system. And then you have the homeschoolers as well. There was that article, where was it, that these homeschool family was really teaching their kids neo-Nazi propaganda?
It's not just a family. It's a whole network.
Yeah.
It's a whole network. I think it's in northern Wisconsin. And
yeah, something.
They have a website with several thousand people belonging to it.
And then,
according to the state education authorities in that state, there's nothing the state can do about it because the curriculum is up to whoever's doing the educating.
Yeah.
So this woman, who's the mother who set this thing up, said she did it because she wanted her children to be loyal to Adolf Hitler. And that's what the curriculum is all about.
Maybe she should have a talk with the governor of Florida, because he likes to set education. He doesn't want children to be to feel discomfort, you know. So you can't teach anything very much about blacks and their history. What is it? They've taken books off the shelves about Hank Aaron. They've taken them off about Roberto Clemente down there.
That's right, because the book about Roberto Clemente pointed out he had to overcome discriminatory practices to make his career successful. And
right.
The Florida authorities felt children shouldn't know about that.
Especially Hispanic children, right?
Well, yeah, especially, exactly. But any children, why should any children know about that?
Yeah. So we had that. And then as we went up, we had, you know, the State of the Union. And
but wait a minute, why in the world should these people be allowed to dictate what children learn? Aren't children supposed to be educated in the ethics, the ethos, spirit of the society they live in? And didn't this society defeat Nazism? What gives these parents the right to do that? What gives the education board the right to let them do that?
Well, you know, we had this fight in Virginia with Glenn Youngkin running for on the schools issue versus the former governor, you know, Clinton's man, the Democrat made the mistake of saying that the parents shouldn't have anything to do with how the curriculum is focused.
Doesn't this woman justify that comment?
Yeah. Jeez. Yeah. I mean, this is what happens. And the Democrats never figured out how to parry that. It's about race. It's about a number of things. It's about science.
It's about genocide.
Yeah. The answer when a woman said, well, I want, you know, to control what my kid learns, should have been to say to her, well, what happens when the lady sitting next to you wants to control what her child learns and it's of opposite yours? Who gets to make the decision? That's what school boards are for. But
these people don't believe in democratic decisions. They're anarchists. They're libertarians.
Well, wait a minute. We've talked about this with Steve Bannon. Bannon's on the air every day in his podcast telling people you've got to take over the school boards. You start there and then you work your way up.
But this woman didn't bother to take over the school board. She just set up her own school system.
Yeah, in effect she did.
Yeah.
In effect she did. You mentioned Wisconsin. I just want to throw this out there. In Iowa, there's that group that's promoting what they call a National Day of Hate.
A National Day of Hate?
Yes.
Oh, that's good. That's lovely. Who? I mean, I don't mind hating some people. I hate fascists.
Yeah. But we have all of this out there as well. And these folks that want to start race wars. Look what happened in Maryland this week. They arrested, speak about Nazis, this woman who thinks she's dying from kidney disease. Before she dies, she and her boyfriend or whatever wanted to shoot out all the power at substations to throw Baltimore in the dark to start a race war.
Exactly.
Which was
By the way, I have to apologize to the state of Wisconsin, the entire state. Yeah. It's Ohio where this Nazi woman set up her school system, and her name is Katja, and her husband's name is Logan, and their last name is Lawrence. And it's the Ohio school district that says they don't have any way to stop it. They got the law on their side. And they have 2,300 people using their lesson plan.
It's called capture. They've captured the authority of the state in effect.
That's right. And they call themselves the dissident homeschool.
dissident homeschool.
Dissident homeschool.
Yeah. And, you know, continued to live in these
in bubbles. Germany, they'd get arrested.
Yes. Yeah. In these days, yeah. So anyway, I mean, those are things now. One other thing with regard to Pennsylvania is John Fetterman, who, you know, as we know, had some serious difficulties during the campaign with his health, had a stroke, and had the residual effects in terms of processing audio commands or audio wording, and also, you know, both from hearing it and speaking it. And after the State of the Union address, apparently felt something wasn't right. He has a pacemaker and he has a defibrillator in him. Went into the hospital thinking that he may have been starting to have another stroke. They ran all sorts of tests. He didn't have a stroke. They tested him for seizures. He didn't have seizures. So he's back out. But he's, you know, apparently his health is still fairly fragile. Now, I saw an article about how many other senators have had strokes and things. There, the senator from New Mexico, was it a year or two ago, had a stroke.
Yeah, a year ago,
came back. And then we had, from the Dakotas, there was a senator who had a pretty debilitating stroke a few years ago and just, you know, served out his term and that was it. So we have those things in a very close, closely packed
Senate. What if Fetterman retired? Is there a special election or does the governor appoint someone?
I think in the interim, I'm not sure in Pennsylvania. I think the governor gets to appoint, but they have to schedule a special election. Hmm. Now, I'm pretty sure the Democrats would know who their candidate is, and I think the Republicans would know who their candidate is.
You think Oz? Oz?
No, it would be Oz's primary opponent there, right. Dave McCormick.
Right.
And because he's planning to run against Bob Casey, who, by the way, has a health concern. He's supposed to have surgery this month on a prostate. But the Democrats, you would think they would put Connor Lamb up. He was their anointed poster child anyway in the primary.
I'm not sure Connor Lamb would win the primary. I think think if Sharif ran, he might win.
Well, no question. If Sharif Street could win statewide, that would be something. So we have those things. And
all right. So you've danced around a lot of stuff. Wait a minute. Before we get to what I really want to ask you about, what do you think about Anna Luna? Anna Paulina Luna.
Is that her real name?
That's her name. Well, I think it is. Well, no, that's a good question.
Her
name actually started out being Meyerhofer.
Yeah, Meyerhofer. She's the female George Santos.
Exactly. She's the newly elected Republican congressperson from one of the districts in Florida.
Florida, yeah.
She defeated a Democrat who was serving on the January 6th committee. And when she registered to vote in Florida in 2015, she registered as white non-Hispanic. She was raised, she said, as a Jew. But she discovered that, in fact, she was a Mexican-American. And that's how she ran and got elected.
But her German background, wasn't that someone who was in...
Her grandfather was in the Wehrmacht.
The Wehrmacht.
Yeah, exactly. Now, I'm not casting aspersions on the grandfather. He was probably drafted.
Yeah.
But he wasn't a Mexican-American.
So, is she Jew-ish or Span-ish?
She's even more convoluted. She claims that her father, and there's no evidence that this is true, but this is what she claims, that her father, who was a Catholic, was actually a Jew because he belonged to a sect that believed that the Jews were really Christians. You got it?
Okay.
All right. So there you have it. However, nobody in the family can remember the father ever espousing any thoughts like that. So her mother said they're all lying. Not her daughter. Her daughter's not lying. Everybody else is lying.
Lying.
But well, anyway, this seems to be an epidemic in the Republican Party.
Yeah,
people can't remember who they are.
They've got several epidemics running in the Republican Party.
All right, so let me now ask you about the State of the Union.
The State of the Union.
Yeah, the event, not the actual
condition.
Well,
the event, you know, it was interesting. Most of the Supreme Court showed up, except for Alito and Gorsuch.
I didn't see Clarence Thomas.
I don't think he was there either. I think you're right there. But two of the former Supreme Court justices showed
right.
up, Kennedy and Breyer, my buddy
right.
Stephen Breyer.
Right.
And of course, Cruella DeVille showed up in the guise of Marjorie Taylor Greene with this wild outfit.
Her outfit was no wilder than Kyrsten Sinema's.
I know, Kyrsten Sinema. Who was it? George Santos said that he had a discussion with Kyrsten Sinema about her outfit, and she said that never happened.
You don't know who's telling the truth.
Well, I'll tell you who I think is telling the truth is Mitt Romney when he walked by George Santos and told him, "You don't belong here."
I don't know. I'm beginning to believe he's the only one who belongs there.
Well, among the Republicans.
Yeah.
And the Republicans couldn't decide when to applaud or not to applaud. But they got trapped by Joe Biden on the Social Security issue when he started to tell the American public that they wanted to do away with Social Security. And the Republicans started yelling, no, no, you know, liar, this or that. And so he said, well, tell, you know, everybody that's for Social Security, you know, stand up or applaud for it. And everybody applauded. He said, well, you know, there we go. You know, glad to have the conversion. But meanwhile, they're still fighting it. And of course, now they have an internal fight between Mitch McConnell and Rick Scott, because it was Scott's plan to do away with Social Security. Now, he wasn't that quite overt. He just said that every item should be a budget item and should be every law should be subject to sunsetting every 5 years and then repassed.
He may have been slick about it, but Mike Lee from Utah, he wasn't slick. He just said it.
Yeah, he said when he ran for Congress, he said that was his job. He wanted to, I think he said, pull it out by its roots. Something to that effect.
So I mean, Mitch McConnell is the big Republican defender of Social Security, right?
Yeah.
Doesn't that scare you?
It does in some ways, but, you know, we know why he's doing it. He realizes that his candidates can't win. He can't retake the Senate if that's going to be attributed to them. And secondly, it's his way of getting back at Rick Scott, who ran against him. And Rick Scott was the guy who was in charge of the Senate campaign committee and picked the candidates, or, you know, picked some of those candidates that couldn't win. So McConnell, you know, is putting Rick Scott out there far on the limb and trying to cut it off on him. But if we don't have to deal with it for another couple of years, we'll take it. We'll take it on that. And as long as they were talking about keeping Social Security, it kept some of the bad ideas of the Republicans off the dialogue. It's what you're controlling in terms of what the media is hitting.
So what did you think of Biden's speech and its reception in general? Let's start with the speech to begin with. He's not a great speaker. He's not a good speaker at all, in fact.
He's not a great speaker, but he has a tone that seems pretty effective. When he got up there, the first thing he did was he congratulated the Speaker of the House, the new Republican Speaker, shook his hand, and that's a bipartisan gesture, which was fairly disarming. The rest of the speech, the Speaker sat there looking like he had just drunk a glass of sour lemonade.
Except for the time when he tried to shut Marjorie Taylor Greene down and she paid no attention to him.
Well, she's the queen of performance art.
Right.
And that's what she's about. Now, but you have to remember also that the television audience was down 29%. And then we had...
Well, how do you explain that?
One of it, I think, people are just tired of all the politicking. And two, they may just, you know, not be as caring about some of these hot button issues that as we are. They just want to get on with their lives. And they're working hard. Don't forget, we have 11 million more jobs. And I don't think I'd be interested in seeing what the demographics of those who didn't show or didn't watch were, whether it was Republicans who just didn't want to hear things from a Democratic president, or whether it was the undecideds or the independents. I think that that would be an interesting thing to find out.
Can they? Can they find that out?
I don't know. I guess you could. You call people. You say, "Did you watch the State of the?" Have you watched it for? You know,
yeah, but if that polling is as good as their pre-election polling, why would you believe it?
Yeah, well, that's a question. Yeah. That's a question.
Yeah. And well, how about the results of the speech in the general population? What do you think a week later, or a few days later? How do you think it resonated in the country?
I'm not sure. I would hope that it was somewhat positive. I think people are skeptical, though, of government right now. And it's sort of, don't tell me these things, show me these things. How's it going to affect my life? Now, you know, we have this economy that's booming, and most people don't think that it is. They don't see it. They don't see it directly in their lives. And a lot of the things that were passed, don't forget, are long-term. Infrastructure takes a while to kick in. The building of some of these plants on the semiconductors, it's going to take a while till that trickles down through the economy.
I recall from history that when Roosevelt the Congress passed the first of his relief measures to get people to work, he appointed Harry Hopkins, a social worker from the Midwest, to be in charge of the program. Hopkins put 1 million unemployed people to work in the first 30 days. That is effectiveness. So somebody said to Hopkins, there's going to be waste, fraud, and abuse. And Hopkins said, yeah, there will be. Meanwhile, we've got 1 million people working.
Right. Well, that's what they're going after now, the waste, fraud, and abuse on the money that was spent, the PPP money and the other monies. But meanwhile, they stopped the economy.
Yeah, like the drug companies that got paid, I don't know, $1.5 billion for vaccines that they never delivered, and they kept the money? That was pretty good.
That was pretty good.
Yeah.
And a lot of others. And you'll just have to see how much the government recoups.
All right.
That.
Well, we'll have to see it the next week, because this week we're done.
Well, don't forget, this is Lincoln's birthday. The Republicans are no longer... Well, they claim to be the party of Lincoln. They're really not very Lincoln-esque.
Lincoln is the first of the rhinos.
Yes, yes. We have Valentine's Day coming up, and of course, Super Bowl.
I thought you'd never mention it. And who are you supporting?
Fly, Eagles, fly.
All right, fly, Eagles, fly.
We're Pennsylvanians.
All right. God help us all. See you next week.
See you next week.
You've been listening to Forward with Falk. Longtime Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen discuss politics. Join them again next week, same time, same place.